Good morning again. This morning we'll be looking at the book of James, and we're looking at chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. You can find that in your pew Bible on page 1011. And while you're finding your place, I just want to catch you up to where we are today. So James, at the beginning of this letter, charges us to count it all joy when we meet trials of various kinds. He then explains that trials are a mechanism of God to sanctify and strengthen our Christian character, the end result being that we will be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. He picks up in the following verses with help on just how we are to do that. He tells us that we are to ask the Lord for wisdom. And not only are we to ask, but we are to ask Him in faith, expecting that God will give us the discernment needed to navigate the trials that come in the most godly manner and to grow our faith and our character to further conform us into the image of Christ. He promises to equip us with wisdom in the trial if we truly believe that He will do so. He also gives warning to the one who doubts Him. He describes this person as a double-minded man who is unstable. As God's elect, we are to live by faith, not only in times of ease, but also in times of difficulty. We trust that the God who moved heaven and earth to save us will also equip us with the wisdom needed to navigate the trials that are promised to come our way. He has paid too high a price for us to abandon us when we are in trouble. Because of who we are in Christ, we can ask God for help, and He will provide it. Like most and hopefully all of you fathers in the room, if you saw your child in need of anything, be it food, warmth, protection from harm, or even in need of a clean diaper, you would provide it. I hope, the diaper part. How much more does our Heavenly Father provide for us? Our God is an attentive and loving Father. I trust you've all found your places. Please stand for the reading of God's Word. James 1, verses 5 through 8, God's Word says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Thus says the Lord." Please be seated. And please bow with me in prayer. Father God, as we read and study your word this morning, I pray that you would illuminate it to our hearts, that you would make us desirous to follow it, to desire more of you. And when you allow and bring trials our way for our further confirmation into Christ's image, God, I pray that we would faithfully call out to you in Jesus' name for wisdom. Help us today to internalize the truths that are spoken and taught here. Help me, Lord, to deliver your message with clarity and with power. Empower me, Lord, to only speak truth. Help us all, Lord, to conform further into the image of Christ. In his name we pray, amen. As a father of three, I'm often reminded that my children don't automatically know how to do everything that I ask of them, or everything that anyone else asks of them either, whether it's something around the house or at school or elsewhere. For example, if I ask them to clean their room, their version of clean may look different than my own. Which, by the way, also looks different than my wife's version of clean, if I'm honest. But our goal as parents, as I'm sure is the goal of any loving parent, is to turn our children into properly functioning adults. In order to do so, it requires that my wife and I provide instruction or wisdom or discernment to our children so that they can learn to do things in the proper and best way. If we just left them to figure it out for themselves, they would flounder and fail more often than they would succeed. But with guidance, they can and do learn as they go on in life. And through experience, they will hopefully become better and better at whatever task they may need to accomplish as they mature. And for the Christian, when we go through trials in life, God offers wisdom in order to teach and grow and mature us as well. God's word not only offers such help to us, but promises it to us to those who ask in faith. The big idea of today's text is that God gives wisdom in trials to those who ask in faith. God gives wisdom in trials to those who ask in faith. And 2 points of instruction will help us understand this as conveyed in today's passages. And the first point is this: we are to desire discernment. Desire discernment. As Brother Jimmy has been teaching throughout the book of Proverbs, there is a continued theme of wisdom. We are to desire wisdom and to seek after it. And he has taught us that wisdom is actually the personification of Christ. And if that is the case, and I agree that it is, then we should ask for wisdom. When we ask for wisdom, what we're actually asking for is more of Jesus. If Christ is wisdom, then as Christians, it naturally fits that we should desire fellowship with our Savior. But Jesus is not just our friend whom we spend time with, although he is that. He's also our counselor. Isaiah chapter 9 contains prophecy about the coming Messiah that says that his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Now, I want us to think about a counselor that any of you may go to or may have gone to for help. Some of you have done this, and you go to either a pastor or someone licensed in counsel or maybe even a Christian counselor. And one of the first things you'll have to do as a counselee is to give background to your counselor. You'll have to tell them about yourself and then explain what is going on in order for them to start to give you counsel. And that's okay. Better than okay, it's good. We need counsel from time to time, and I'm glad that you're getting guidance in that way. And I only bring that up as a way of contrast. The fact that Jesus already knows you shows that he is the best counselor. He knows your every thought and all the intimate details of whatever difficulty you're going through, and he doesn't need you to rehash what is going on before he can provide you with wisdom. And in fact, the best counselors will point you to Christ every time anyway. When we seek God for wisdom, we're asking him for expert advice. But it actually goes even further than that. It's kind of like asking the engineer who designed and built your car, where does the gas go? See, because God created you and he knows every fine detail that there is to know about you. He even knows how many hairs are on your head, some more than others. And when we ask God for wisdom in trials, we get God as our counselor. Jesus is our wonderful counselor, and we are his disciples. we disciples receive instruction from God himself. In trials, we are to seek him in earnest for wisdom, or to keep with our alliteration, we are to desire discernment so that we may be able to navigate the trial in such a way that we remain faithful to God, proving that we're genuine believers. In the trial, we also grow in our faith. As we witness God's fidelity to us, we gain further spiritual maturity from the trials that we go through. Before I move on to my second point, I want us to look at what James says about the manner in which God gives us wisdom. He says that God gives generously and without reproach. God does not reproach us for asking him for wisdom. He does not look at us and say, "Why do you need my help? Haven't you learned this lesson yet?" No, he knows our frame. He knows our every need, and he promises to provide us wisdom in trials. God's not annoyed with us when we ask him for wisdom. He's not like the distracted parent who lashes out at their child when they repeatedly ask for the same thing, or who constantly interrupts you when you're talking to another adult. God's the perfect father who loves and adores his children. He dotes over us, and he loves to care for us. If we desire wisdom and we ask in faith, he will give it to us generously and without reproach. Point number two, despise doubting. Despise doubting. Some would argue that prayer without believing cannot rightly be called prayer at all. In this case, your petition is no more than an exercise of the mouth or the mind, but not of the heart. Such a trite request from God is blasphemous and wicked. And if this is you, then like it says in verse 7, you must not suppose that you will receive anything from the Lord. You are double-minded, saying one thing and believing another. You are unstable in all your ways, and you can't make up your mind whether to follow God or the world. You're riding the fence and not fully trusting God. Ephesians 2 tells us that we are saved by faith. And as people of faith, we should despise doubting, because doubt is the opposite of faith. The one who doubts God is mistrusting of him. He is skeptical of God. He is fearful and suspicious. The faithful one is dependent on God and certain of him. He is convicted and hopeful and reliant on God. When we meet trials of various kinds, we should despise doubting. There is a sense, however, that all of our faith, just like our flesh, is weakened by the curse of sin. Here's an example from Scripture. Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 14, it says this: "And when they came to him, when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him." This is talking about Jesus. "And he asked them, 'What are you arguing with them about?' And someone from the crowd answered him, 'Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able.' And he answered them, 'O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me.' And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, 'How long has this been happening?' And he said to him, 'From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' And Jesus said to him, 'If you can, all things are possible for one who believes.' Immediately, The father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. The narrative goes on to say that Jesus did cast the demon out and healed the boy. And you can also read in Matthew's gospel of Peter walking on water with Christ. Peter asked Jesus to command him to walk on the water, and as Jesus commanded him to come, so did Peter leave the boat and walk across the water to Jesus. But Peter became fearful at the wind and began to sink, but Peter cried out for Jesus to save him, and he took hold of him. Peter, like the father of the demon-possessed child, and like us, had faith that was tainted with unbelief. When we doubt, we are unstable in all our ways, and we start to sink like Peter. We need faith to stand firm. If we doubt God, then we must not suppose that we will receive anything from Him, and we should despise doubting. When trials come, we should desire discernment, and we should despise doubting. So as a Christian asking for wisdom, what does this practically look like? How do we ask God for wisdom? We ask Him in prayer. If you struggle with prayer and feel like you never know what to say, then here's one simple way to pray to God. It's called the ACTS method. That's A-C-T-S, and it's an acronym. The letters stand for adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. First letter, A, adoration. Praise God. Praise God for how wonderful He is. Confession, admit that you have been sinful and seek forgiveness. Thanksgiving, thank God for all that He has done. And supplication, ask God for help. Here is where you would ask Him for wisdom for whatever trial you're going through. A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. This is just one way to pray that lines up with the way Jesus taught His disciples to pray. When we pray to God, we should humbly expect results. In trials, we should approach the throne of grace in the name of Jesus and ask our Father for wisdom. But this is only possible for the Christian. Yahweh does not receive prayers in the name of saints or false gods. He does not tune His ears to pagan prayers. Their prayers are an abomination. As it says in Proverbs 28:9, if one turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. The law refers to the commandments, and the first commandment is that you shall have no other gods before me. And 1 Timothy 2:5 reads, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So it is only by the righteousness of and in the name of Jesus Christ that we can ask God for anything, including wisdom. But this, again, is only available to the Christian. Only God's children have access to the counsel of Christ. If you've not been born again, you do not have access to God in prayer. You do not have the help of God in trials. You do not have the hope of the trial being for your good. Like it says in Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. If you're an unbeliever, you cannot count on trials being for your good. You can't even count on God acknowledging your prayers at all. They are an abomination to Him. Unlike the Christian, when you, unbeliever, stand before God, He does not see the righteousness of Jesus. He does not look at you like a loving father who is well pleased with his child. When He looks at you, He sees a worker of iniquity. He sees corruption of sin, and He turns His face away from you. And on the day of judgment, if you still have not embraced Christ as your Savior, you will be judged for your sin. You will be found guilty and punished accordingly. However, if you would repent of your sin and turn away from it and turn to Christ, he will wipe it all away. He will clothe you in the righteousness of Jesus. He will intercede to the Father on your behalf. I want us to look at Romans 10:9, and I'd like you guys to turn there. If you have a pew Bible, it's on page 946. I like to quote this verse, 946 in the pew Bible. I like to quote this verse, but I'd like you to read it too. What we find there is a promise. Romans 10:9 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. God promises salvation to those who turn to Christ in faith. He also promises to give wisdom to his children who ask him in faith. We must understand that the wisdom that God provides will be according to Scripture, though. Scripture alone informs us of God's will for our lives. When God gives us wisdom, he will illuminate his word to us in a way that we understand it and can apply it to our life and our situation. This may come through solid biblical counsel from a pastor or a fellow church member. It may come through the preaching of God's word or from your own reading of holy text. Or you may recall to your, or God may recall to your mind truths about him that you already know. Rest assured, though, God does not change. With him, there is no variation or shadow due to change, as his word says. God will never give you counsel that tells you to do something contrary to what he has already said in Scripture. He will never tell you to continue in sin or to commit sin to solve problems. God does not change. His counsel is firm. His word stands. Today, in the post-apostolic age, we have the completed Bible. Today, we do not have prophets that are receiving brand new revelation from God. There is no one alive today with apostolic authority to write new Scripture. The canon of Scripture is closed and complete. God speaks to his children through the 66 books of Holy Scripture. The Bible is God's word. It is Jesus speaking to us. Jesus, the Logos, the Word of God, as he is called in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Bible is a story of Jesus, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And as he says, no one comes to the Father but through him. If you lack wisdom, ask God for it. Ask in the name of Jesus, who is wisdom. Ask for more of Christ in you. And God, who gives generously, will give it to you. He will give you abundant wisdom. You will have all the wisdom you need to navigate whatever you're going through. The big idea of today's message was God gives wisdom in trials to those who ask in faith. This morning I've charged you, according to James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, to desire discernment and to despise doubting. I've told you that to desire discernment is to want more of Christ in your life. I've told you that Christ is our wonderful counselor who knows every detail there is to know about us. And I've told you that God is a good father who desires to provide wisdom to his children and only requires that we ask him in faith. And if we ask for wisdom and faith, he promises to give it generously and without reproach. I've also told you to despise doubting because doubt is the opposite of faith. I've said that the one who doubts is unstable, like Peter sinking in the sea, that the doubter is fearful and skeptical of God. And I have explained that asking for wisdom from God is simply praying to Him. And I taught you the ACTS method of prayer: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Let us all endeavor to trust God when we meet trials of various kinds. Let us ask God for wisdom in trials, and let us ask in faith, believing that He will give it. Lord, help our unbelief. Please pray with me. Father God, we come to You thankful for the words that You've given us from the book of James and the instruction to ask for wisdom and faith. And God, for anyone here who is going through any trials, I ask that they would apply this to their lives and that You would help us to walk beside them and give them counsel according to Your word, that You would help us to love them in such a way that we would not be silent, that we would speak truth into their lives. And I pray that they and all of us would humbly submit to You in faith, expecting that when we pray for wisdom, that You will give it. Lord, we love You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.